Right now, it is time to Ask Amy. Every other Thursday, we talk with Amy Dickinson, who writes the syndicated Ask Amy column for the Chicago Tribune. And lately, she's been getting letters like this one, questions about how to deal with pet peeves. Dear Amy, I sit in a cubicle next to a person who is always chewing gum with her mouth open, blowing bubbles, and cracking the gum. I can't stand watching or hearing people loudly chew their gum. As Oprah said, it's like watching someone chew on a piece of meat all day. I try to remind myself that maybe I have habits that she doesn't like. That's the only thing that is keeping me in check. Do I say something or get over it? Signed, Anonymous. Today we're talking about pet peeves in the workplace, on the road, or in your living room. What's your biggest pet peeve and how do you deal with it? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. And of course, you can always comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Amy Dickinson joins us now from member station WBEZ in Chicago. Good to have you with us, Amy.
Hey, Lynn.
And I bet cubicle culture has increased your pet peeve mail.
Big time. Big time. In fact, you know, if colleagues could just not chew at all anything, that would really be helpful. So thanks so much. Just stop chewing.
Or yeah. Slurp on their coffee. Ooh. or talk.
Well, you know, it's these open environments that a lot of us find ourselves working in. When I first started working at my in my current office, I actually have a door, but I looked out and I said to my mother on the phone, "It's like grown-ups in playpens. People they can see one another, they can hear one another, and these are people who are expected to talk on the phone a lot, and you know, there are a lot of disturbances in your typical office."
You know, I always wonder what management's thinking is on the whole cubicle culture, but that's a whole other show.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think. But how do you answer a letter like that?
Okay, well, in that particular case, and I love the fact that this letter writer brought up Oprah, because I happen to know, because I'm a viewer, that Oprah hates gum. She hates gum. Like, do not chew gum near her. She'll smack you. So she said on her show one time that somebody was at her home for dinner, took out a piece of gum and put it on her plate before she ate. And that Oprah said on her show that she later threw out the plate. So I recounted that in my column, that mm-hmm. anecdote, mm-hmm. and I then said, note to self, when next at Oprah's house for dinner, place gum on the underside of the chair. And then you may want to station yourself near the dumpster in case it comes flying out the window. So, but
then you'll have a chair you can tell people, this was once at Oprah Winfrey's house.
Exactly. So I know that people hate gum. I happen to be a gum chewer, I'm sorry to say.
I'm a little disappointed in you.
I know. And so here's what I say when I get these letters about gum. I know for a fact that those of us who do chew gum do not realize how loud it is. We think that sound is just in our own heads. Mm-hmm. And so in this particular case and in other cases, I do suggest that people just say, you know, I'm sure you don't realize this, but I can hear you chewing all day long, and it's really it bothers me.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, in most office cultures, colleagues, because when I wrote this particular answer, my editor was like, I don't know, we got a problem here near my cubby, and I could never speak to the person. Unfortunately, a lot of us end up going to our bosses over what are very, very minor but very annoying issues. And bosses have become used to having to kind of deliver this news like, oh, FYI, you're driving your colleague crazy.
So you're saying be a grown-up, do it yourself. That's your.
You know, I always think that's the first. Yeah. The first pass should be a personal, you know, no big deal. I just want to let you know. I'm sure what I liked about this particular letter was the person said, you know, I'm sure I do stuff that annoys her. So this is an opportunity to say, you know, and by the way, if there's anything I'm doing, I hope you'll let me know.
Well, what are some other pet peeves outside the office, let's say?
Well, technology has just given us all sorts of opportunities to bug one another.
Yeah.
So cell phones, I mean, I got a letter today, just before I came here. I read a letter from somebody about who was, can I say, using the bathroom and heard someone come in talking on the cell phone. And this person said, I mean, it's obviously it's a terrible violation of the privacy of a stranger, you know?
Yeah.
Now, would she – this – now I'm thinking out loud.
But,
would
I mean,
she,
some kids in particular, I mean, they take a cell phone anywhere. I mean, they just don't even think about it. It's just – it's on, you know, it's sort of attached to their ear permanently.
But
anyway,
I'm surprised at how often I get letters about people – from people about cell phone usage in bathrooms.
Yeah.
But then I think aloud, okay, wait a minute. Would the person who was using the toilet be as bugged if two people came in and had a conversation? Isn't that sort of the same thing?
I guess. So
I think it's something we need to.
All right. How do you handle the cell phone thing? And then we're going to take some calls. How do you handle the cell phone?
Well, the bathroom, that's an extreme issue. I don't know. I would call out and say, hey, take it outside. But there are a lot of cell phone issues in public, you know, in stores. I got a letter yesterday from a nurse in a hospital. She said it is our stated policy written on signs, on walls, that this interferes with our medical equipment, and yet people continue to use them in hospitals.
And it drives me crazy when I'm on a plane and I see people, you know, trying to sneak their cell phones. I keep thinking, you don't want to, you know.
I know.
Please don't mess up the instrumentation.
Right.
Let's take a call now. We're going to go to Stefano, I think it is, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Stefano.
Hi. You know, a moment ago you were talking about would we be as annoyed with people, but before I get to my original comment, would we be as annoyed at people if they came into the bathroom having a conversation? I recently read a study, I think it may have been out of Stanford a couple of years ago, that the reason that we are so annoyed with cell phone conversations is because we only hear one side of the conversation and our brain is constantly trying to fill in the other side, which actually annoys us because we're never relieved of that.
Ah.
So we're constantly hearing the, uh-huh, yeah, oh, yeah, me too, yeah, yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I'll be there at 8. And it drives us crazy, literally. So it wouldn't be the same if two people were having a conversation because then we would be filling in those gaps.
We'd be eavesdropping.
And as far as my original comment, the thing that gets me the most is I teach at the university and I'm a student at the University of Minnesota. And what I see is at breaks or right after class or even when a movie lets out, students or people or whoever armed with their cell phones for texting or with a cigarette in hand at the moment that they're released from the class or the movie, which tells me that they were preparing before the class or the movie was over to be armed with a cigarette or a cell phone, and they emerge from the building ready to light up or start texting, and it obliterates all conversation, all reflection, and all of a sudden everyone is either smoking or talking, and I can't handle it.
Now, why is that particular pet peeve for you? Because it doesn't interfere with you in any way in particular.
I think because it makes me sad that maybe I'm romanticizing the past, but we don't walk out of class and like, oh, what did you think of X, Y, and Z? Or walk out of a movie and what did you think of the movie? It's like we walk out of the movie dead set on lighting a cigarette and texting someone who's not in the actual space that you're sharing. So it's like, well, what happened to dialogue and argument? Let's reflect on what we actually did a second ago instead of pour our minds into our smoking or our texting. It doesn't necessarily have to interfere with reflection, but it just seems to, because people are just so hung up on what they have to do at the moment of release.
Okay, thanks, Stefano.
Thank you.
I completely agree. And what he's saying is that they have spent the last 5, 6, 7 minutes of the public, you know, part of the class preparing to cocoon themselves. It's technology. It's very, very alienating.
You know, I was just handed an email that I find interesting, and I'm gonna read it to
Speaking
you.
Speaking of alienating,
this is from Lori, and she says my pet peeve is at home. Unfortunately, my biggest pet peeve hits me at home. My husband slurps, and that would be a capitalized slurps, his cereal every morning. I sit next to him as he does this. It's like nails down a chalkboard. I let it go because, one, I am sure that if I have habits that he's not fond of, two, if anything ever happened to him, I would certainly do anything just to hear that slurp again. It's my way of keeping it in perspective and loving him for who he is, bad habits and all. We've been living together for almost 6 years now, so I knew what I was getting into when I married him last June. That's from Lori in Sacramento, California.
Oh, Lori, isn't she lovely? I love him as he is. But the fact is, you know, why can't you ask somebody to moderate, change a habit? She's not asking him to change as a person. she would be educating him. And I like the idea of two people sitting down and saying, okay, let's do a trade. I'm going to tell you a very minor thing that you do that it bugs me. It doesn't bother me. It just bugs me. And then you get to tell me a minor thing that I do. Let's keep it on the same level, and maybe you can both work on your little issue together.
You know, Amy, I'm struck as I listen to you, because whenever I read your column or other advice columnists, I don't read the other ones very often, but occasionally I do. You know, you guys are always so commonsensical and saying, you know, just tell the other person. And that is the hardest thing in the world to do.
I know.
So do you have any advice about how to really actually do it?
I know. And actually, I believe in sort of – and Lynn, I come from this very WASPy family where we don't tell each other anything. You know, we're just all about getting along. But I do like the idea of people in an intimate relationship sitting down and actually – you can do it in a funny way. You can do it in a charming way. But you could say, let's do a trade. And, you know, it's if you can't tell somebody you're in an intimate relationship with, if you can't tell them about something which is very minor, then how do you talk about the big stuff?
We are talking with Amy Dickinson about pet peeves. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 800-989-8255. And you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take a call now. We're going to go to Micah. And Micah is calling from Phoenix. Hi, Micah.
Hi. Great topic of conversation today.
Great. Thanks.
Hey, I wanted to talk about I had a similar situation happen with me at work. A person for the past month has been parking in two parking spots, and it's reoccurred literally every single day for the past month. And I hear little chatter around the office building about, oh, how this person is such a jerk for parking in two spots. Why didn't somebody say something? And it bothered me too. And I'm part of I'm largely involved with the punk rock community out here in Phoenix, and many of my peers have other suggestions on how to handle it, but I'm not really one who condones violence. So,
Micah, do those suggestions involve like a crowbar by any chance?
Crowbar was probably one of the nicest things that people suggested.
And, okay. And another pet peeve I'm going to add too is when people park in handicapped parking spots and they're not.
Exactly. It's pretty much the same thing. It's just just a disappointment that so many people can do that and not even have the, you know, the thought of other people around them.
Okay.
All right. So a nonviolent way to deal with people who are parking improperly. Thanks for your call, Micah. We're going to ask Amy to answer that.
I've got this covered, man. This is so easy because a lot of times you can inform somebody without confronting them by saying the following. Hey man, can you do me a favor? I noticed you're kind of straddling the spots, and I'm just hoping you can change your habits tomorrow so that the rest of us can all squeeze in. It's pretty crowded. You know, I feel like if you ask somebody to do you a favor, you can even say, you know, this is kind of a pet peeve of mine. People will go, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, here's what I don't like. I don't like the idea that this is this festering issue that people all over are talking about. Obviously, it's very inconsiderate. So I think you got to nip it in the bud and just ask the person, you know, hey, I've noticed this. Do you mind doing me a favor and just taking up one spot? Thanks.
All right, let's take another call now. We got Mike calling from Oklahoma. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. There? Yeah, we're here. You're welcome.
First of all, I've been an ER nurse for 20 years, and what that lady said about the cell phones interrupting our telemetric devices, that's a myth.
Good to know.
If you look at every piece of electronics that you buy, there's an FCC statement in there saying that this device can neither interfere with or, and it has to accept all interference it gets. It's the same way with that high-dollar medical equipment.
All right. Well, let's get to your pet peeve now.
My pet peeve is when you're coming up to a construction area on the highway and there's merge signs, and it might be for a long distance, and people don't merge over. They keep, and there's a big long line, but they got to pass everybody on the left. And my solution to that is I keep my place in line, but I go over into the merge lane and not let them pass everybody, forcing them to either merge over or just follow me until the end of the merge lane and then pull over.
And don't you feel better?
Yeah, oh, I love doing that because it oftentimes gets them extremely angry, which doesn't bother me a bit.
But I like the fact that, A, thanks on the whole, you know, this interferes with medical equipment. Actually, the nurse who wrote to me did say that, but she also said, most importantly, when somebody is having a conversation and we're trying to do our jobs, they're not paying attention to us, listening to us, and participating in the process. That's the most important thing. But thanks for the FYI on that.
All right. And I just want to get to the – quickly, if you can respond to – because we have a couple of emails, too, here about things – when it happens in the car, how do you handle these kinds of pet peeves without – you know, getting into road rage?
Well, actually, I like what Michael's done because it's a little bit proactive, but it's not aggressive. I tell you, people who respond to a road aggression with aggression are just really, really asking for it. So I suggest that people who have car issues go into that special Zen place. Do not be aggressive.
All right, Amy, thanks so much for coming in again with all your wisdom. I love hearing it.
Thanks, Lynn.
Amy Dickinson writes the syndicated column Ask Amy for the Chicago Tribune. She joined us from member station WBEZ in Chicago. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.